One Man Revolution, Volume 2, Episode 15. And long live the revolutionary. It's me, one man with the revolution today. Here I am sitting in Piney Point Studios as part of the one a day, one cast a day for the month of May. Oh man, do I have lots of stuff today, let me tell you. It's a Friday, and of course that's the end of the week and going into the weekend. And of course when we go into the weekend, what's going to happen but they expect a couple of shows with a lot of good pod-safe music in them over the weekend, since it is a time to celebrate and a time to have some good fun. But before that, we have some business to take care of. Oh, let's see what we have in the news today. Oh, boy. Well, there's a good one here. It says the Pentagon is considering sending troops to the U.S.-Mexican border from Reuters. I guess it's Reuters. Routers? I love this thing. The Pentagon has begun drawing up plans to send troops and equipment to the U.S. border with Mexico, where hundreds of thousands of migrants enter the country illegally each year. And that's what one defense official said today. So, of course, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld weighed in with his border issues at the Pentagon today, along with Defense Minister Guillermo Clemente Ricardo Vega from Mexico about the shared 2,000-mile border between our two countries. And he, a Pentagon spokesman, had to say the U.S.-Mexican governments continue to work together to control the border and collaborate on these important efforts. Oh, man. You know, immigration has really emerged as a top political issue for 2006. I'm not quite sure why. I mean, yes, there are 12 million illegal immigrants in this country doing the jobs that you and I probably would never want to do. They'll mow your lawn, they'll chop down trees, they'll pick your food, they'll clean up after you, they'll clean your house, they'll do all these jobs that you and I, as genteel Americans, probably wouldn't want to do. Nor would we take the salaries these individuals are taking for doing these tasks. But of course, Donald Rumsfeld is kind of citing this whole thing as an invasion of illegal immigrants across the southern U.S. border. And on Thursday, the House voted 252 to 171 to permit the Pentagon to assign forces to help in border protections. There are people out there with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, of course that's part of Homeland Security now, that are responsible for going ahead and patrolling our border. We also have those friendly Minutemen, including some people who are sitting around guarding our U.S.-Canadian border so that we don't have all these quote-unquote illegal Canadians coming down into our country and working illegally. But they give us some very interesting examples in the New York Times article that I'm looking through. One example of the current U.S. military limited support that we do right now is unmanned aerial vehicles provide border surveillance. That seems pretty good thing, but to station armed federalized troops on U.S. soil, keeping Mexicans across a 2,000-mile border. And, of course, the White House has their plan, because National Guard troops only come under this the command of state governors, who can use them for such purposes as as border security. And the president also has the power to federalize troops. And that's one of the things that King George was saying that he loves to do. That he wanted to do during Katrina. He said that he wants to. He wanted to, during the time of Hurricane Katrina, he wanted to use active military with some folks. They suggested to him to use troops for law enforcement to stop violence and looters in New Orleans. And there are also suggestions that Bush federalize the National Guard there. But the state officials opposed the proposal, and in the end, neither one happened. So the federalization of the troops didn't happen, and neither did the ability to make the active military into some law enforcement force. But King George, of course, has his ideas on what to do with this whole process of putting a military force around our country to protect our U.S.-Mexican border. He said that he's trying to build some momentum here. He says, let's see, I'll get down to that in a second. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. We need to beef up. No, that wasn't him. That was some whack job from Texas. Oh, wait, he's a whack job from Texas, too. So let's see. Oh, in this entire article I'm looking through, they actually don't quote George Bush. What do you expect? Trying to let's see. With National Guard troops paid for by the federal government, according to senior defense officials, so they want to pay for troops to instead of Homeland Security, which of course has done such a great job in keeping our homeland secure. They're looking for about 3,500 to 10,000 troops, depending on the final plan. But some are saying that the final plan, 10,000 fig the 10,000 figure is a little bit too high. Which, if you look at it, 2,000 miles, 10,000 troops. That's more than, oh, let's see, that's a let's see, that's 5 troops per mile. Where is that 5? Yeah, 2,000, 2,000 into 10,000. Yeah, 5. So it's 5 troops per mile. And that's a little bit a lot, wouldn't you think? Have 5 guys standing, 1,000 feet apart where they can literally see each other as a human fence going down there. But of course, King George, and I'm going to record this on Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, he's going to sit and talk about immigration policy, and he's going to talk about some other things live and direct from the Oval Office. So I will tape that and make my comments along with King George on Monday, and hopefully I can get a good feed on that one. If someone out there, some revolutionary, would like to tell me where to get a good feed from the White House, it'd be pretty good. But his speech Monday is intended to build support for a broad overhaul in immigration by taking these steps to secure the border. Friends, they're making it sound like there are just a billion Mexicans just flowing over the borders, attempting to take all of your jabs. But guess what? They're not taking your jabs. They're not taking any job that you really want. If you really wanted it, you'd go out and get it. And all those people who say that, well, if I could go out and pick strawberries, I would go out and pick strawberries. Well, if you were getting $3 an hour for picking strawberries and no medical benefits or anything else, I bet you wouldn't do it. Nor would you say, well, if somebody paid me, I would go out there for a good wage and pick stuff. And then you, of course, wouldn't you as a as an American wouldn't buy $50 per pound strawberries because it costs you so much in labor to do it, labor and benefits. So undocumented workers have been kind of a mainstay of American politics, and even though I don't agree with it, and I think that we should use the people we have in this country, there are just people who want to get in this country, and they'll do anything possible to get here. So think what you want, make up your own mind, send me a response. Of course, that's just the way it is. And if you were forced to go out there and pick some vegetables, one day a week or one day a month, for free, would you do that too? Because basically, if we get rid of all the illegal immigrants and we get rid of all the individuals that are out there that are doing this, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have some type of a collective, a volunteer effort, just so we can feed ourselves. So that's my ideas on that. And this is the One Man from One Man Revolution. And you're listening to the One Man Revolution here on the National Podcasting System. And now for some PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. And I think that this one, you'll understand why I picked it out, especially when we're talking about the idea of immigrants. It's only a minute and 52, so if you don't like it, just skip forward. This is the Club Stella Bowling Team with Shipload of Coconuts. Sometimes you just need something just silly to get you going. Oh boy. So in a Business Week letter today, entitled No Space for MySpace, it talks a little bit about Speaker Hassert's suburban agenda, although it doesn't quite put it that way. I had to run through a couple of dozen links to find some good information about this. But it is a proposed law banning social networks from computers in schools and libraries could also block huge slices of the network, also known as Web 2.0, without protecting the kids. For starters, there's a general definition of what sites should be banned. Some lobbying companies are saying things like areas that allow users to create web pages or profiles that provide information about themselves and are available to other users, and also offer a mechanism of communication, such as a forum, chat room, email, or instant messages. In other words, the Fed does wants to pass a law, the Republicans in Congress would like to pass a law they're calling the Deleting Online Predators Act, or it's also called DOPA, or what I like to call it, the Big DOPA. And it's sponsored by folks like Congressman Michael Fitzpatrick, Republican from Pennsylvania, and House Speaker J. Dennis Haskert, Republican from Illinois. And one of these bill, and the bill is also called, let's see, H.R. 4894, which will allow schools. Oh, well, I'll get back to that one in a second. Yeah, that's we'll talk about that one. That's by Republican John Porter, Republican of Nevada. So what they're proposing in DOPA is basically limiting Web 2.0. Stopping MySpace, stopping chat rooms like AOL, stopping Any blogs, because blogs allow you to post comments. I read Slashdot.org. If you don't read Slashdot.org, then you're not a nerd, and that's fine. But us nerds go to Slashdot.org and read the news for nerds, the stuff that matters, on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day. And it allows us to post up any type of comment that we would like about what's being done. This whole concept of Web 2.0, the concept that the web is more than just a place for static information. It's a place where that builds community. Well, if it's up to Congress, they will kill the ability for this, for us to create online communities like MySpace, because they say that they're all just havens for child sexual predators. Well, they're doing such a good job at this. That would be people like the Representative John Porter, that he would also like to allow schools to access databases when hiring new teachers so they can make sure that the new hires aren't child predators. I don't know about you folks, but I was hoping they were doing background checks on people that were dealing with children. 20 years ago, I started working with kids. I know, I'm showing my age. I started working with kids. And I had to be fingerprinted, I had to be mugshotted, and I had to have a lot of different things just because I was working with children. Are you telling me that in 20 years someone decided that that was a bad idea? I know that it's still being done for child care workers for basically registering us so that if something does occur, and my face is in the system, so that they could basically pick me out of a mug book. Of course, that picture's a little bit old now. Like I said, it's 20 years old. But what are you going to do? So Web 2.0, which would basically be dropped out of the picture on this, and also how are we going to teach kids to effectively communicate if they're not sharing their information through a blogging software, like WordPress or oh, there's a couple of others out there. I know there's blogging software all over the place, Blogspot, so places that will allow people. I mean, I use my own software, so it would probably be also blocked because it also allows for comments and allows for email to be sent. So even my One Man Revolution site would be blocked if it isn't already from the schools and other federally funded institutions. Now remember, a lot of federally funded institutions that are out there are things like schools, let's see, universities, anything that receives federal funding, like a library, anything that would receive any federal funding, such as an outreach program into the community that utilizes computers, would by definition of this new DOPA ad, this new law called DOPA, the Online Deleting Online Predators Act, would basically be removed so that no one would be, have the ability to utilize these things from federally funded computers. Now, from a technological standpoint, it's going to be a nightmare because that would mean that at some level we would have to filter all of this information and there would have to be one massive depository of this information to do it. So even if they pass this act today, it would take 7 to 12 years for this entire thing to actually occur. And by the time that's done, old King George, his cronies, and all of these senators will either be dead or retired somewhere. And someone will repeal this act or we just won't follow it in the industry because, according to what I signed on for when I joined the university system, it is my responsibility and and part of my credo and my loyalty to the university to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. The Constitution allows for free speech. So guess what? I would, as a person who has control of a university network, or at least a segment of that, would not follow this act because it's unconstitutional. So I would just have to wait until the Supreme Court ruled on it. All of this is also called basic fear-mongering. Another problem with DOPA is that it may do little to actually ensure safety of children, which would be from Ann Collier, the founder of blogsafety.com. A site promoting safe use of the internet. Sure, it limits access for kids who who don't have a computer at home, but for the most part, schools and libraries are now secondary venues for kid computing. And the internet protection is a moving target. And social network is evolving more quickly than the legislation that's aimed at it. And she finishes up by saying, I don't think the lawmakers have had a lot of time to think about the implications of Web 2.0. They're indulging in fear-mongering. Now, my favorite quote of this one, and I think it was from Fitzpatrick, and hang on, I'm going to pause this and come right back. Hold on. Yeah, I found my quote. Here it is. It's from, of course, Dennis Haskert, the Speaker of the House, and he says, he claims that the bill is absolutely necessary to stop, and I quote, dangerous predators out here on the interweb. How do these guys get to be so out of touch with what reality really is? It's the internet, you dumbass. Okay? It's the World Wide Web. You know, it is the internet. It is the web. It is these things. But you take those two words and you put them together and you'll look like a fool. All right. So it's a little early to see what the chances of this bill are for actually passing. But remember, the co-sponsors are 8 Republicans, and the issue could win support from both parties. But what poll out there doesn't say, well, is the internet safe for children? Well, my opponent says that he doesn't support this, and therefore, he's going to he wants your children to be attacked by vicious predators. And don't say that the Republicans won't do it, because they will do ads just like that, especially in an election year. So I need you guys out there, all my revolutionary brethren, to take a look at this. This law, this act that is being done, and I actually got a PDF of the law itself and its actual wording, which I'm going to put up on onemanrevolution.org for you to take a look at. Again, look at it for yourself. Tell me if you think it's effective. Tell me if it's just not a bunch of crap that'll never actually be done to stop these things from happening, to protect our children's. And on that note, I'm feeling a little crazy. So here's a road trip with feeling crazy, or crazy feeling. Either way, it both sounds good. So here's road trip with crazy feeling. It's 3 minutes and 58 seconds from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. So finally in today on today's One Man Revolution, and here I am, the revolutionary. Coming up with the last thing here would be a follow-up. William Gibson, yes, that's William Gibson, the father of the term cyberspace himself, responds to the NSA wiretapping information. And he said, and he did, let's see, where was he yesterday? Open Source Radio did a special yesterday, that would have been the 11th, on the NSA's indiscriminate and illegal wiretapping of American citizens. And that was, of course, revealed yesterday on the USA Today exposition. They got William Gibson on for a rare interview. And let me tell you, that's a tough one to get. William Gibson don't do interviews. Okay, William Gibson writes books. I've read every book by William Gibson. Everything from from some of the earlier ones with like Count Zero and Neuromancer, all the way through All Tomorrow's Parties. And I just can't get enough of what he has to say. And he really has a good handle on the ideas of what science fiction was and what is, and he's kind of a futurist of what it can become. And what was science fiction is now science fact, and what is now science fiction will eventually become science fact in another day. So, he basically sat around and talked about, how when he woke up in the morning, he read the NSA headline and he thought the future had been a little more than evenly distributed. Now we've all got some. The interesting thing about these meta projects that were in which everyone uses them, he doesn't think the species knows what they're all about. And with all of this information, with the NSA collecting your phone numbers, the NSA collecting possible phone messages and phone conversations, basically, William Gibson said that he is enamored by the idea of this national security bubble, and he would like to see new technologies emerging because people think they can make a bundle helping them emerge. And the first people that do that normally are places like the US government. We really don't do pure research anymore. And I think Gibson is stating a very good fact that people really, really want to make new and interesting technologies, but there's no drive, there's no money to actually create them. I disagree with Gibson on this fact. I mean, I love his work and I love his authoring, but I think he's a little off base on this one. Because if you look at podscope.com, feel free to go to podscope.com, podscope.com. What it does is podcasters like me and vodcasters, people that create video, we submit a URL, which I've submitted the same feed that you're listening to here from the revolutionary himself out on FeedBurner. And it comes in every day, every time I have a new episode out, and it listens. And when I say listens, I mean it analyzes the entire podcast and sets up a set of keywords and phrases that were said during the course of my conversation with you, my listeners. So go to podscope.com, click on search through audio, and type in King George. And I'm going to say King George three or four more times. King George, King George, King George. And what that's going to do is it's going to now run through when this whole piece gets onto the PodScope. Now this particular episode 15 of Volume 2 of the One Man Revolution is going to be tagged as having frequent what is it? What are they called? References. There they are. Frequent ref. I'm losing my words here. Frequent West references to King George, and it's done better than real time, which means if they don't have the computer doesn't have to work for an hour in order to listen to an hour's worth of programming. So it's a technology that's out there, and as far as I know, it wasn't funded research. It was someone came up with this idea, hey, why don't we have a computer listen to everything instead of me having to listen to it, put all the information in a database, and then allow it to be searchable. And it's a great idea. So I disagree with Gibson on that one, but he does make other valid points. If you go ahead and listen to or open source radio, it starts about 34 minutes in. And he said it's very hard to get some people on board because they think that it's impossible to accomplish things. He thinks that it's the X-Files, Nixon wiretapping, and science fiction that actually stops people from thinking that these things are actually going on. And I find that it's almost, and he says he finds it's almost comforting that to believe that during the Cold War that the CIA was reading everything. So he said also in a very long view, it'll turn out to be about how we deal with the technological situation we find ourselves in right now. And we've gotten somewhere we've never gotten before, and it's interesting. It's very interesting. In the short term, we've taken a position that's very, very illegal, and he hopes that something is done about it. So even though he said he's a big supporter of technology, I also am a big supporter in technology, and we agree that that this is illegal. We disagree in the fact that that it's necessary to drive forward the ability to do these things. All right. I find that sometimes there are things that if you actually knew what was going on and the revolutionary is, and I just referred to myself in the third person. Wow, at least I'm not crazy because I'm questioning whether I'm crazy or not. Right, PJ? It's very interesting to find these various things because people. If you really knew what was going on sometimes, I've seen photographs taken from space of license plates in a parking lot. And I know that they were there and that they were real because I stood next to the license plate and looked at it. And there's a picture of me standing next to the license plate. And these were pictures taken from space. So having the government reading every piece of email, having the government listening to every phone call, it alarms me because these things are violations of my privacy. And in the state of Florida, King George, I have the right to privacy. It's my Florida constitutional right, even though it's not covered in the United States Constitution. So, by all rights, we need to make sure that we are at least paying attention to what government to the government that is governing us as we stand. So consider that. Go take a listen to the open source radio comments of our good friend William Gibson. He is, in my opinion, still one of the best authors about tech, along with Neil Stephenson. It's not real tech, but the idea of cyber tech. Now I'm going to leave you tonight with one last piece of music from the Podsafe Music Network, and I think it sums up some feelings that I have myself. It's Lee Coulter with Why I'm Not a Rapper.
You know it makes me sick how I can drop a kick, slam down a wicked wick and I got a hit. Yeah, me and music could be cheese and chalk, but I can sell records if I walk the walk.
You know it makes me sick when I'm making beats. I know they ain't gonna take if I ain't from the streets. Ain't a beat, still a beat. If I ain't back in heat, don't need a 50-man crew just to feel complete. You know it makes me wanna throw up. They really gotta grow up. They're acting like kids every joint they show up. Say they don't give a f but just wanna impress. How they pose in the clothes with the hoes in the dress. I guess it must have missed the feminist movement. Thought treating women like people was a damn improvement. Can't praise the Lord when you're winning the world. I swing around and sing about the bitches you scored. And now I ain't political, but it's a little hypocritical. So easy to ridicule. It's getting so pitiful. You can't say peace, then promote segregation, discrimination, and adulteration. Now I'm making up words, but you gotta understand. I know it's absurd, but it's in the men. I'm ashamed to sound sane, but I ain't in the game. If I write the right letters when I spell my name, you know it makes me sick. Oh, I can drop a kick, slap down a wicked wick, and I gotta hit. Yeah, me and music could be cheese and chalk, but I can sell records if I walk the walk. Yeah, I can sell records with the shit I talk. You know it makes me queasy how it's just so easy, but it's not hip hop if I don't graffiti. Though I can make you dance, I got no chance at all. If I never spray something on the subway wall, or if I'm compelled to let my clothes fit me well, what the hell I'm gonna do with the next XL? Just to make my tracks whack like they like something fat. That's fat with the P, now what's up with that? When every other word I've heard and all the songs they play begin with an F and then a UCK. Yo, you see, they get nothing smart to say. cherishing the ways of bad yesterdays. Cause I'm the king of composing and I can sing, but it don't mean a thing if I ain't bling bling. I took a day from scratch to hatch this track, and it's a billion times better than the $1 million crap. You know it makes me sick, and I can drop a kick, slap down with a wick, and I gotta hit. Yeah, me and music could be cheesy junk, but I can sell records if I walk the world. Yeah, I can sell records with the shit I tell. Yeah, check this out right now. We're gonna break this down. We did something spectacular. They came in the hordes, played the same three chords, winning Grammy Awards for the same three chords. You know it gives me the melody. Hey, you don't need a melody. It just seems to need the themes that keep on a fan of me. In order to succeed, do I need to smoke weed? Drink and make my nose bleed with the life that I lead. I don't drive a fancy car, just play guitar. Never wanna be no rap superstar. I'm just singing for the kids who can't shut their eyelids, cause they're glued to the screen, watching obscene vids. Cause I prefer to live and get what I give. Don't need to be tripping to be creative. What happened to entertainment? Children playing on the pavement when the G's came in. It's a day they went. It's malevolence, not brilliance. I'm hearing on the radio and MTV playing the same lame video at 6:00 just to look ghetto. I'm not trying to be a prick, it just makes me sick. You know, it makes me sick. And I can drop a kick, slap down a wicked wick, and I got a hit. Yeah, me and music, a cheese and joke, but I can sell records if I walk the world. No, it makes me sick. And I can drop a kick, slap down a wicked wick, and I got a hit. Yeah, me and music, a cheese and joke, but I can sell records if I walk the world. Yeah, I can sell records with the shit I talk. Yo, I can sell records with the shit I talk. That's why I'm not a rapper, yo.
And that's why I'm not a rapper, my friend. I could sell records with the shit I talk too. And I'll have some announcements for everybody on Monday, because the meeting that I the phone conference I was supposed to have today got moved to Monday. So I hope everything works out for you, Alex, and your family. I know family emergencies pop up, and it's the revolutionary, not Michael. Okay, so get it straight. All right, folks, a little bit inside. If you want to reach the One Man Revolution, go ahead and write me at onemanrevolution@gmail.com, or just drop by the website and leave me a comment. Everybody's clicking on the website, but no one's leaving any messages to anyone else. So if you could just please leave me some love at onemanrevolution.org. Over the weekend, of course, we're going to have lots of PodSafe music to get us in the mood to have a great couple of days. If you don't hear a lot from me about the politics, you'll at least have the news of the weird. So this is the One Man from One Man Revolution saying, a revolution starts with one man standing up and saying, I'm not going to take it anymore, and let's make a change. Remember, I love each and every one of you, and I'll see you on Monday.